Previously on Rearview Terror.
The client is paying you handsomely to put to rest whatever lurks inside the old Halverson house.
Oh, are you the realtor?
There was something tall and dark that snuck up behind me and almost grabbed me.
I'm guessing there might have been some hoarding going on here.
There is a box that's moving, and you don't really see anything moving in.
Fired my gun. Ate shit. Oh, man. This is going well.
There is this hooded figure headed slowly up the stairs towards where you guys are.
Oh boy. Guys, we've got ugly heading our way.
At that, Greg will take off toward the stairs and see if he can confront this entity and try to disperse it from this place.
All right. Greg is running headfirst.
Man, we are all offense.
Just as Doc had described, you see this hooded figure. It's hard to make out what's under this sort of dark cloak that it's wearing, but you do catch like a reflection of light coming from its forehead as it's making its way up the stairs and towards you.
Greg will shout out his battle cry of averting all evil and leap at this creature and try to knock it down the stairs further with a fist full of divine imbued energy.
Is this kick some ass?
Yes, I'll do some kick some ass. I think I have to get really close to use my smite, so I'll get right up to it and try to smack it. So I got to a 8 plus 2 toughness, so a 10.
Not bad.
Oh, but a minus 1 from the minus 1 forward, so I got to a 9.
Oh,
good
no!
catch. That's right, yeah.
The back tweak!
As you are punching forward, you feel that pain in your back again, and it just sets you off just enough, so you are only a mixed success. So that means that you do your damage, but you're also going to take damage from the monster.
Let's see what you got, monster.
Just for reference, how much harm do you do when you punch something?
Smite says it's 2 harm, and it always counts as the monster's weakness.
So you watch as your fist impacts with like a burst of light, and it actually illuminates enough so you can kind of see what's below the cloak. The figure before you is sort of a smooth brown clay, and it looks a lot like one of those posable artist figurines. Its body is segmented into these chunks, and the light of your punch also reflects this metal again on its forehead, and you see these 3 symbols that are in this language that's definitely not English, but as your attention is taken by this, it comes up with its own right hook and slams into your face and hits you for 2 points of harm.
And would my divine armor apply?
It certainly would, yes.
Reducing this to... Okay, so 1 harm then. And Greg will shout out, being of clay with symbols upon your head, be now dispersed and leave this place forever.
I'll rush to the downstairs. See what's going on.
Tiger 2.
I think this is a whole team rollout situation.
Oh, big time.
One person kicks some ass, we're all going in.
The team makes their way down the stairs again. Just above the foot of the stairway is this creature. It's definitely noticed your presence as the whole team comes charging in. It looks up at you and you see these symbols on its forehead. Actually, Toby, how much have you studied other religions?
I'd say a little bit, just kind of as necessary to try to understand sort of other kind of demonology sort of things and maybe some bad spirits.
Yeah, I have a feeling Toby would recognize at least what language this is. This is Old Hebrew.
Anyone happen to know Hebrew? Oh my god, is this a Full Metal Alchemist kind of thing where we have to destroy the lettering?
There's only one way to find out.
A couple ways to find out, yeah.
Tiger's going to try and find out by blasting all those symbols to smithereens and aiming for the head.
Oh my god.
All right, does Tiger want to make a kick some ass with Dr. Slumber again?
Little slumber MD.
Slumber MD. With my plus zero, here I come. Okay, that's an 8.
Which means that you do your harm.
So there's some tags on it as well. So it's close, reload, loud, 3 harm.
So as a reloading weapon, it will take you a little bit to get another bullet into the chamber. But you definitely make contact with the golem. And you watch some like bits of clay explode from the side of its head. But as this thing is still in combat with Greg, it's going to take another punch. So this time it's coming in from the left and it hits you once again in your head for 2 points of harm reduced to 1.
Smear the symbols.
As you're looking at them, they are actually like molded metal that has been nailed to this creature's forehead.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Destroy them somehow.
From afar, because I'm in the back still. I'm going to use magic to try and inflict 1 harm. 7 plus 2, that's a 9.
How does it look when you set it off?
I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to try and play with the idea of going for the head, whether it's like a quick jerk of the neck, as if he got punched really hard in the face, you know, like the reaction to that is what everybody else would probably see.
Your magic makes impact and you guys can see it sort of clicks to the side and it looks like its head is actually stuck in that position.
Nice. And so, Bobby, is everything about its being made of clay with the exception of the metal plate on its head?
Yeah, and there's like no features at all. It's completely smooth aside from those letters.
But it's like bipedal. It's got 2 arms, 2 legs.
Exactly, yeah.
I'll probably join the fray and I'm going to go up to this thing. And this is sort of an improv thing where I don't know how much harm it might do, but I've got a can of spray paint and a lighter. So I'm going to try and like torch this thing's face and maybe like melt the metal.
Interesting. Okay. I'm actually going to have you roll act under pressure for this.
Oof, a 5. It's bad.
You start the lighter and start spraying, and it's not doing anything, really. It's setting on fire a little bit. But yeah, he's mostly just getting dirty.
That's a bit of a dud.
But as you guys are still locked in fisticuffs, this golem and Greg, the thing actually starts to go limp a little bit.
Greg will seize this apparent moment of weakness and try to... He's above it on the stairs, so he's going to just try to do a sweeping strike and just try to sever the head from to separate the symbols from the rest of the body to see if maybe that will weaken it. So I'll try for another smite. So again, I got to an 8 plus 2, so this time it should be a 10, unless I have another minus 1 for some reason.
Yeah, you do your harm, so that's another, 2 points of harm?
Yes, 2 points of harm.
So again, the light makes an impact and more chips of clay start to fall off. But unlike your last hits, this thing just starts to loosely tumble down to the ground floor of the house.
Can I use my remaining investigation question?
Sure.
I think I'm going to use what can hurt it.
So you recall after Toby mentioned that the letters were Hebrew, you remember reading something once about golems and there being a specific weakness related to those letters. The letters spell out the word truth, but if you remove the final letter, it becomes death. And that's been known to deactivate golems.
Guys, I think we need to get rid of the last symbol on its head.
Well, can we do it now while it's a crumbled heap?
That seems like a good idea.
After you, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be like, all right, it was my idea. I'll go try and remove it or scratch it.
All right, so how are you approaching it?
Oh, I don't love that question.
I mean, how are you going to try to remove the symbol?
Is it carved into the metal?
No, so the metal itself makes these symbols. It's a kind of like a cutout form.
Did you say it was like nailed in or something? Or like,
If you look closely, it looks like there's a circular nail in the middle of each one of these that kind of drives it into the head of the creature.
Okay, I'll try and remove the nail of the last letter. I have a crowbar as well, if that'll help.
I was going to say, take out the handy dandy
crowbar. Yeah, it might be time to use that there crowbar.
So you start to work the tip of the crowbar in between the nail and the symbol. And when you make contact with the metal, suddenly you feel this intense electric shock moving up your arm and through your whole body.
Ow, 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 ow.
You take 3 points of electric harm.
Ow.
Electric harm sounds like a song.
It does. Yeah, I'll drop the crowbar out of reflex and just sort of like flex my hand and try to shrug it off. Damn thing shocked me. Anybody got any rubber gloves?
I'm going to try to use burn everything and aim specifically for that last symbol and hopefully hit it with 3 harm dead onto that symbol and either change the symbol or, you know, knock it off.
Okay, cool. Roll use magic for that.
So, that's a 6.
Oh, okay. Does not succeed, unfortunately. You're trying to muster up all the magical energy that you've trained over these years, and unfortunately it just comes out as like a spark, not enough to actually do any damage.
And I also carry the bad luck charm as a hex, so whenever I use magic and miss, the backlash never affects me directly. If there's someone else around it to hit, it'll go for allies, other hunters, and innocent bystanders.
Oh god.
That's right, yeah. Since Doc was the closest one nearby, he's probably going to get the brunt of this.
Oh, awesome.
What starts out as a spark near the symbol itself kind of builds up to a full flame up in the air above it, and it sort of explodes in poor Doc's face, and you take an additional 3 points of fire harm.
Holy crap, okay. Well, I'm 1 point away from dying.
Because it was my fault, and I'm freaking out as Luca. I think he's going to burn a rote and try and rewind time so that didn't happen.
Oh, love it.
This is a special thing for Luca. He has this magical spell, which would you like to describe how it works?
Yeah, so the way that the rotes work is it's a spell. In Luca's case, it's 2, but I'll explain that later. It's a single spell that he can use kind of at any time, but the rote requires certain things. So in my case, it requires an object of power, which is a coin, and spilling of my own blood, which will to take 1 harm for every time I use it. In this case, I have 2 because I opted to have a coin that I could flip, and depending on how that coin lands will determine what rote I use. So even though right now I really, really want to use the rewind rote, if it lands as heads, the rote is actually slowed down. So the whole coin that I have is time-based.
The way I'll handle it is I'm going to have you roll the d6 to determine the success level, and then I'm going to flip a coin to see which move it actually is.
All right, I like that. So I'll just roll the d6 and we can talk about what the road is when we know what it is. That's a 7.
I flipped a heads, so this is going to be the slowdown move.
I hate you.
Damn it.
I'm going to bleed out and die. And it's all your fault.
Slow motion.
In session 1.
So when you get a 7 through a 9 on slowdown, time is slowed down, but only you can move through it at normal speed. You gain +1 ongoing until the rote ends.
All right. So everybody's in slow motion except me.
This is your nightmare, dude.
This absolutely is my nightmare, yes. I want to get to Doc and use my magic to try and heal his harm.
Can somebody else come in and heal me?
Everyone is slow motion right now.
Yeah,
so.
I would, but I'm a little slow.
But it's not just us. It's also the monster that's in slow motion.
And Ian's bleeding.
Hey, there we go.
Greg does want to use Lay on Hands on Doc, but obviously he's slow right now. But that's what he's trying to do.
Then I'm just going to shoot the thing with my revolver while everybody's in slow motion. But I'm going to try and walk a little bit closer to get a better sight line. Because at this point, I think both Greg and Doc are kind of between me and the golem. And so it's a 38 revolver, close, loud. You guys are all going to come out of the slow motion death. But
weird, I didn't have tinnitus going into this mission.
It's a fun surprise for everyone.
You're just slowly, I don't even know how it works. Do I look like I'm going double speed to the rest of you?
Yeah, I think everyone would see you moving way faster.
Quick draw.
It's that episode of Futurama where Fry drinks way too much coffee and yeah, goes so fast and everyone else just is moving in slow motion. It's just like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's see how it works. Fuck yeah, that's a 10.
When you get a 10 or more on a kick some ass, you get to pick extra effect.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm going to do extra harm.
Woo! Did you say that you were aiming for anything in particular on this?
Going for that last symbol there.
Yeah, with the extra harm, I would say when your bullet makes impact, the thing just shatters and splits along the nail. So it's now shattered into two pieces and slips off from the golem's head.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Guns did save the day. That's the moral.
And as this thing is sort of sliding in slow motion from your perspective, everyone else sort of speeds back up and back to your pace.
I'm just going to look back at the group like, holy shit, did you see what just happened?
Oh, any day now would be great.
Yeah, I'm going to go try to medic up Doc over there.
Yeah, and holy energy emanates from Gregory's hands as he feels around and he's like, shocked? Who are you?
And burned.
Oh, yeah. How would I even, what would I have for burn supplies?
Squirts a whole tube of aloe vera just over the...
A good old, like, Neosporin or something. Hashtag not sponsored.
Please.
Although, yo, Neosporin, fucking hit us up. All right, we got an 8 plus cool, so yeah, 9. So either stabilize or heal 2 harm.
Just do the harm. My lay on hands will stabilize automatically.
Oh, okay, cool.
Thank you. Oh, enough with the kitty band-aids. Greg!
As you guys are patching each other up.
As they say.
you hear this sound coming from the first floor. It starts with this commotion. And then you hear the sound of, like, splashing water, followed by a scream.
Does it sound like a masculine scream? A feminine scream?
Sounds like a feminine scream.
Well, I'm in no shape to do anything, so this is all on you.
I'll run down there and see what's happening.
Yeah, Tiger and Dr. Slumber are ready to roll.
I'm taking my heavy flashlight, gripping it tight in my hand.
Gonna be Toby and Tiger? Are you two going to investigate?
Not to be confused with Tony and Tiger.
Yeah, it's a little different.
So you guys go back down to the first floor, and you get a better look at this central gallery area as you're moving through it. The passageway opens up a little bit, sort of a wider area, and there are rows of human statues in various poses. You see like a dancer, a knight lifting a sword, there's a mother cradling a child, and then there's framed paintings of human forms sort of collapsing in on themselves. And then in the center of it all, there's an entire car in here. It has doors missing, the hood popped open, and just dozens of thick cables coming from the engine and disappearing into the surrounding heaps.
Are there symbols on anything?
Yeah, so you're looking closer. Each one of these statues has those same three symbols on the forehead.
Okay, so here's what I was thinking, right? Your, headphone thing said always at the highest spot, right? What if we turn it all upside down?
Whoa, that's interesting.
I don't know if it actually will work, but
it's worth a shot.
Whatever we can actually lift up and flip over.
Yeah, I mean, statues are pretty heavy, right? But maybe.
Maybe even just tipping them over would be.
Oh, facts. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You just put your shoulder into them and then you push.
I mean, my thought, maybe you start doing that. I want to disconnect these wires from like the car going into God knows what, right?
Good idea.
That's kind of my thought. Sounds like a good idea. Yep.
So let's split the difference. You start tipping over some statues. I'll go rip these wires out.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to flip something over and just one of the smallest things with symbols on it. I'm gonna at least just see what happens if I have the symbols on the like bottom of it, you know.
So you find one of the like smaller statues in this area, and it's actually like propped up with some like thick wire, but it's easy enough to like lift it off of it. You know, it's not like super heavy. You could probably flip it upside down if you really wanted to.
Suplex the statue, Dan.
Yeah, even if it's just, you know, fumbly, like I don't care if it breaks. I'll just try to tip it over, and if I drop it or whatever, so be it.
If you want it to be upside down, you could lean it against that wire frame.
Sure.
Easy enough. So this small statue is now upside down.
Awesome.
It's a statement. It's a statement piece.
Mission accomplished, boys. We can go home.
I think I'm going to start flipping statues upside down.
Oh my God.
My focused eyes and my rumpled suit. I'm like, yeah, this is a really good idea.
Is Tiger going to unplug the car first, or is he completely distracted?
I mean, you know me. The moment I see something kind of not even work, I'm distracted.
Whatever the loudest signal is.
Right.
Not to add too many things, but there's also still that sound coming from one of these side rooms. It sounds like splashing.
You know what? I think I'm going to get a little distracted by the flipping of the statues. Like, it didn't seem to affect anything. It didn't come to life. Let's flip them all upside down. Let's see what happens.
All right. Between you and Toby, you guys get these all flipped upside down.
Excellent. Now let's unplug that car.
Yeah. Now that we've done that.
Now that we've done the important stuff.
Good thing we did.
I want to bring up the fact that like golems are always being controlled by something, right? There's like a power source, whether it be a person or an object.
An automobile.
An automobile, maybe. Who's to say, you know? But yeah, there's got to be some type of power source that's animating these things. So maybe we got to find that, take it out. I guess I'll take up the car mission now that I've seen Tiger get distracted with the statues.
We flip the summoner upside down.
We flip the car upside down.
Oh my God.
Onto the upside down summoner.
Makes sense. I like it. So what's happening?
While those two are playing Jenga, we might want to investigate what that watery sound is. I feel like something's flooding right now.
From what you can tell, this sound is coming from one of these first floor side rooms. It's the farthest one back to the left.
Oh, the question mark, question mark, question mark room?
Yeah, if you refer to your map, this one is labeled question mark, question mark, question mark room.
That's not at all suspicious, given that every other room is labeled plainly.
No, you just got to this moment and was like, I'm done with labels. Like,
I'll go listen at the door to the mystery room and see if there's any water running out from under it.
You don't see any water coming from underneath the door. That splashing that you were hearing a few moments ago has died down.
How big is the gap under the door?
Less than half an inch under there.
I was just going to say, I want to join you in
investigating this,
mystery
room.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hey, man. I'm about to do some recon on this weird room.
Yeah, no kidding, right? With that sound?
Yeah, it's ominous.
Those guys are ridiculous. They're flipping.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, that's kind of why I left. I'll try to use my tune in move again and see if I can find any bugs in this gallery. So I got 10 total. Looking good. So I hold three of the tune-in questions. Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, so I'll probably do at least two right now. I think I'll do where is it and what is it planning to do right now, and I'll save my last one. And I'll use whatever bug is available to like basically go under the door and check out that room.
So you find a stink bug in the house pretty close by. It's living in one of these heaps of garbage. Sneaks out, and it manages to slip its way underneath this door. And what you see is quite strange. What would be the floor is actually a few feet below ground level, but the room is full of murky, stagnant water, as the entire rectangular area is one big baby blue tub.
The whole room is a tub?
And you see that there are a number of animals floating, mostly rats, but there are a few bigger. And then you notice that there is actually one that's much bigger. There is a woman that's floating in the middle of this tub, completely lifeless, and you recognize the face of April.
Oh, man.
That NPC lasted long.
I mean, she was the realtor for a haunted house. She was practically invented to die. But, yeah, that's bad news.
You notice that up above, beneath a holy cross that's hanging on the wall, there is an open window here.
In this room?
Yeah, it seems to be the only one you've seen so far that it hasn't been barred. And out through the window, you see this shape, this shadowy figure, is looking in on this tub room. It slowly slips its way through the window. And you can hear this, all of you, as it starts to step its feet into the water. You start to hear these splashes as it begins to lift up April, slings her on his shoulder, and then the figure dips under the water level and away from sight.
While holding April's body?
Correct.
Okay, well, I'll disconnect from this poor stink bug and relay all that information to Luca and then to the others as well. Hey, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I think the realtor is A, not really alive anymore, and B, got taken by this entity in this, what looks to be a tub room. Like, the whole thing is ceramic. It's really weird.
As he's describing this, Toby, a light clicks on in your head, and you're like going back through your memories of times in churches, and you're like, this sounds like a baptistry room.
Well, now that I know, it's such a holy place. Let me go check it out.
Yeah, it's could still be in there. Be careful.
So Toby opens the door.
Yes.
You see this very strange room, as Doc described it. There is just this room-wide blue tub that is full of stagnant water. As you open the door, you get these wafts of horrible smells of like wet animal and rotten meat.
It's pretty nasty in here, guys.
Oh, that is powerful. And I'll cover my nose.
And as you're looking around, you see next to that cross that Doc saw on the wall, there's like a little placard with like a Bible verse about rebirth through baptistry.
Is the thing and or April in there?
You don't see any signs of life. There's just those floating dead animals in the pool.
Well, it was here. Maybe it can travel through water?
As you're listening in, you do hear some noises coming from below you now.
In the basement, theoretically?
Indeed.
What kind of sounds?
Sort of rustling and footsteps. You hear some sloshing as well.
We don't know anything about the people who lived here or why this is going on. Yeah, I might poke around like the lounge or the dining room just for like any kind of clues about maybe what happened to the siblings who lived here or if they have any kind of connection to the Hocus Pocus, you know?
Family photos on the wall.
Yeah, or any like...
Talks about the place's
right,
history
yeah,
or
any
what's...
Any clues, which is, I guess that's probably just straight up in like investigative mystery.
You want to do so in the lounge, you said?
Yeah, yep.
Go ahead and roll investigate a mystery.
That is an 8.
That means you get to hold one.
Yeah, I'll do what happened here.
When you enter the lounge room, you see that there are just stacks of VHS tapes. Most of them are from like no later than the 90s. They have all the worlds of the 90s. There's Waterworld, The Lost World, Spice World.
The renowned world trilogy.
And there's one of those big old CRT TVs with the tape player built in. And it looks like there are a few family recorded tapes.
Anybody up for a little movie time?
Yeah, let's home movie this up.
So the gang is in the lounge. You see some couch with stuffing falling out of it that you guys could sit in if you want. But you plug in one of these tapes and it starts to play. In these tapes, the Halverson siblings introduce themselves. There's Emmett, who is a brilliant engineer forced into early retirement by a rare degenerative disease, and his sister, Maeve, who is a prolific sculptor. The recordings start in the early 90s. Emmett has just purchased the house, a former church, and Maeve has moved in to help care for him. At Maeve's suggestion, Emmett starts a video journal to pass the time. You watch his interests shift from hooking up a car to power the house's electricity, to studying religions of the world, and finally to his greatest obsession, which is online shopping. As the hoard grows larger and larger, Emmett grows frailer and frailer. He goes from walking with a cane in his early tapes to wheelchair-bound in the later ones. It's at this point that Emmett introduces Wallace, a golem built with Maeve's help to help get around and manage the enormous collection contained in their house. Wallace doesn't speak much, but it's clear that he cares greatly for the Halversons and their home. And that's about all you gather from these video journals.
Gregory grasps one of the tapes and inquires, "These tapes be held. They have the sticky origin as well. Old, I would assume, based on the dust."
I feel like maybe they passed away, but figured out a way to put their consciousness into the golem or golems. I don't know if that's possible, but yeah, we've seen some weird shit, so, you know, not ruling it out.
"Though the stars appear only a thumb's width apart, the furthest outstretched arms will never reach them. This meddling is not within the realm of mortals. We must make sure to destroy all evidence of these experiments."
I mean, I think we destroyed one of them earlier. At least I hope we did.
"And these records as well," he says, waving the tape in his hand.
"What, you think we should destroy the tapes?"
"They should not be witnessed by others who might use them more nefariously."
"Yeah, that's some volatile information on there."
"You know what? Fuck it." Luca takes out, because every scrawny punk rocker has a Zippo in his pocket.
Naturally, sure.
Tries to smash one of these bad boys open to take some of the tape and use that kind of as tinder starter. And Zippo it up, light it up, burn it down, baby.
The tape itself starts to light.
Tiger will look around nervously to see if there's any reaction from the house itself.
As you're waiting for any sort of response, you hear some creaking, and it sounds like it's coming from the stairs, but nothing other than that.
Maybe we should take a peek-ski.
Yeah, I think Lucas can go into the gallery and go towards the stairs at this point.
Before Luca is able to get out of the door, something catches his eye. You turn to a corner of this room that you're in, and you see there is this huge, beautiful grandfather clock. And you don't know why, it just catches your eye as you're on the way out.
All right.
I'll whisper, "I got your six," as I pull out my heretofore very effective Dr. Slumber.
Upon hearing that, Luca looks very thankful for that, because this is not his usual thing of going first. So he's like, "Yes, thanks, man." And he's still gonna walk out of the room. He's gonna take note of that clock, kind of look at Doc and, you know, because he and Doc are relative friends, and kind of give him that look of being like, hey, man, like, look over there. Like, do you notice that thing that was in the corner? And head out the room over into the gallery, hoping that, you know, slumber and Tiger can help him out.
First thing that strikes you as you return to the gallery is the car in the middle of the room is now like puttering. The engine is on.
And we never disconnected the...
the wires, no.
You had talked about it a lot, but you never ended up doing it.
I'd like to follow the wires.
They go through all the piles of stuff, so you kind of have to navigate that.
Yeah, it would take quite a bit of digging to figure out where they're actually going because of these towers of shit.
In the videotape, we saw the car was being used as a means of powering electricity, right?
Exactly. You gleaned that they were kind of trying to get off the grid, so the car ended up powering pretty much everything in the house.
Is there any way to access the inside of the car? I'd like to try and shut it off.
Yeah, the doors are all ripped off, so it's pretty easy to get into the front seat if you'd like to.
Luca climbs in.
Just be prepared for the lights to go off.
You enter the front seat and you see that there is just this plain looking metal key that's in the ignition. A lot of the dashboard has just been ripped out. It's pretty bare bones in here.
Luca's going to tentatively touch the key and kind of look over at the group and go like, all right, guys, here we go. I'm going to shut this off.
As your fingertip makes contact with the metal key, you feel this jolt shoot up your arm and you take 3 electric harm.
Whoa! Shit!
You instinctively rip your hand away from it before you're able to turn the key. And the rest of you who are outside of the car, you see that all of the statues that Toby and Tiger had turned upside down are starting to, like, wriggle. The joints start to twitch this way and that, but they can't seem to get themselves upright.
Because we turned them upside down! Let's go! God, we're smart.
We knew. We totally knew. The whole time.
I feel like we should probably make haste and deal with these statues that are animating.
Let's start blasting.
I mean, yeah. I don't hate it.
How are you going to approach this?
How do you think he's going to approach it?
It's Dr. Slumber time, baby. I'm going to kick some ass.
Are you aiming for just like one in particular? There's like 4 statues here. There was the dancer, the knight, the mother, and say a soldier with a gun.
Oh, we got to take out that soldier. He's got a gun.
Yeah, but isn't it like made of, like, it's not an actual gun?
He's got a gun. We got to take him down.
I mean, you have a gun.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to be the only guy with a gun.
I mean, I suppose, yes, we want the same thing, so... let's get rid of that guy's gun.
We're shooting the guy with the gun. I don't care what it's made out of.
And where are you shooting him?
Right in the dome. The upside down dome.
Okay. Roll kick some ass.
Kick some ass. Oh, sweet lord. That's not good. Okay, so 4 + 1 = 5 plus 0 to my tough is 5.
Oh, 5. That's going to be a miss.
Oh, no.
So mark experience.
Mark experience.
Yay.
You know, there's always somebody that has to fail forward. You know, it's just, it's got to happen.
You'll appreciate that failing later when you level up.
If I don't die.
Your bullet misses, but also because of your unstable condition, you're going to take 1 additional harm as you feel something tighten inside.
All right. 1 harm.
Speaking of the soldier and guns and stuff, is it assess a bad situation? Just see what's the most dangerous?
Sure, yeah.
I rolled a 6 and a 2, so I got to an 8, and I have minus 1 sharp, so I got to a 7.
Barely a success there, but you get to hold 1, I believe.
As I said, I want to see what's the biggest threat right now.
As these statues in the gallery are sort of wriggling and trying to animate themselves, after a few moments of trying, they just sort of give up. They go limp again.
Oh, God damn it.
And you see that the stuff around you, these giant piles of collected boxes, are starting to move themselves. And it looks like these boxes are actually starting to lean towards you guys, trying to start this major chain reaction to collapse on top of you all.
Let's get out of here. Like, now.
Greg begins to shepherd everyone out of the room, mumbling about an ambush. Real bummer, man, this outrageous collection. So many magazines and useless junk may end up killing us.
Even Tiger knows when he's outnumbered by boxes.
Tiger has not had good time with boxes so far.
He's gotten his ass beat by Christmas, by Easter. He's not fucking around with Halloween. It's time to go.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Have we moved to a safer room? Were we able to? Or are the boxes collapsing too quickly?
Well, it's a good question. Where are you guys headed to exactly?
Is it the gallery where everything is collapsing / animating?
Yeah, that's where you guys are right now.
I mean, we've got dining and bedroom just adjacent to us right there.
Let's go dining room. To the dining room!
Am I in Clue right now?
It happened in the attic with a holiday box.
You guys head over to the dining room. You see that there is a table covered with rat droppings and a collection of novelty lamps. The walls have dozens of photos of the owners through the years. There's like old black and white ones where their kids playing with wooden toys. The brother in red and white doctoral robes. The sister at a New York art show. And then you start to see more recent photos with the brother's body sort of shriveling and folding in on itself. The sister losing her hair. And in the background, you see this golem, Wallace. You've come to know him.
I have a question for the keeper here. Because Luca has been really focused in on magic in terms of time, would it be too far of a stretch to say, I mean, what I want to do is look at one of these later images and see if Luca can put himself visually in that time or relative to that time where the image was taken, to see if there's anything that he can glean from that moment in time? Would he have that ability at this point? Because I see one of the effects for use magic is observe another place or time.
Yeah, I think this could go one of two ways. You could use magic like that, or you could try your luck with the coin, because you also have something that works there too. But if you want to use magic to just view the time that you're looking for, that's definitely an option.
What I want to do here is looking at these images, looking at the progression of brothers getting sicker, and I want to see if there's a moment in time where they're talking about his passing, or there any information I can get about whether or not he's still alive, or if they've found a way to keep him alive.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to want to roll plus weird.
Which I have 2 for, so hopefully.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. 7, 8, 9. That's a 9.
So it works imperfectly. You choose your effect and a glitch.
So the fact is, obviously, I want to see that time.
Mm-hmm.
Glitch. Let's just say it's for a shorter duration.
Okay, so you're just going to get a very brief glimpse of the past here. Would you like to describe how Luca is focusing on this spell?
Everything evolving time because of the coin seems to kind of like come a little bit easier to him. So as he sees these images and these photographs and putting together this picture, this time frame of what their life was like, he's closing his eye and imagining close to the end of where this brother and sister, what they're accomplishing at the end.
I picture Luca using one of these newer photos as almost like a focus. Your attention gets drawn into this photo of the elderly brother and sister with Wallace the golem between them. And it's almost like the photo comes to life around you. It slowly sprawls out until it's everything that you can see. And you're watching them. They're in this very room, and there is like a very old chunky laptop on the dining room table here, and Wallace is seated in front of it, kind of awkwardly in a chair that's too small for him, and right next to him is Emmett in a wheelchair, and Wallace is speaking kind of unsteadily.
Buy it now.
And Emmett says, yes, very good. We'll add it to the collection. It's perfect. And then the scene starts to melt. It kind of deforms and recomposes itself around you. And you can tell that you're a few years later at this point, and you see Wallace again. But this time he's standing and his hands, his wooden hands, are red with blood. And you see Emmett and Maeve, both siblings, are on the ground, their necks bloodied and swollen. And the golem says,
add to collection. Perfect the collection. Buy it now.